Turn our attention to the NFL. A couple of notes, a couple of things. And look, the Lions preseason game, thank God the preseason's over. Now you just have practice and camp and the countdown. These games are morbid. But two things jump out after the last game, and I want to know which of them you're more concerned about. Because I think I know what my answer is. A, I don't get it with Hendon Hooker. I mean, I watch. Wow, did you see him scramble for 6 yards? Yeah. Vanilla schemes. You're playing dudes that are going to be working at Ben, you know, Sherman Williams next week. I'm sorry. But the other one is Jake Bates. Missed an extra point last week. Missed the chip shot field goal this week. And before you say, well, they're not going to use their kicker, I agree with you, there will be a time you're forced to. There will be a time where the analytics can't save you, and with 18 seconds left on 4th and 4 from the 39-yard line, I got to take a 55-yarder, 56-yarder. Look, for the backup QB people, I'll leave it to you. But Rico, I'm being serious. This is a team that wants to make a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Of these two things that have been these weird preseason rallying cries, are we sure we want to go with a kicker that has no NFL pedigree? I know, Brett Aubrey last year for the Cowboys, same situation. He turned out to be stupendous. You could go and get another kicker. I mean, Riley Patterson got cut loose the other day. Mm-hmm. Are we sure about Jake Bates? That's where I'm at.
We're not sure. We're not sure about Jake Bates, but Mike, I don't think the team prioritizes a kicker. So therefore, if you don't care about it, why should I care about
it? Because we do a radio show.
I get that. I'm saying they're going to just ride with Bates until he does something stupid, because you know what you also have? Well, he kicked a 60-yarder inside of Ford Field in a UFL game. So he's become a fan favorite. And until he goes out there and loses a game for you, I think it's his job. The bar is low. So, yeah, that's not what you want the criteria to be. Like, son, it's yours until you screw this thing up. But I think the second he has a game where he misses two field goals or he misses two extra points and it costs the Lions a win, he'll get cut, and then they'll go out and shop for another kicker.
So
but
my
right
question
now,
would be, why not put him on the practice squad? There has to be someone who's kicked some big in some big moments that's had more of a litmus test. Look, there's no denying Jake Bates' talent. It's there. Like you, that he's built in a lab as a kicker, but he has no experience. Why do you think so many of these highly drafted kickers? Look at Jake Moody. Jake Moody didn't have some perfect year.
Oh, he had a horrible year.
Okay, so yeah. I'm saying like it isn't an exact science, and maybe 3 months from now it's the last thing we ever talk about. But of these two, between Hendon Hooker concern and Jake Bates, it's all about Bates. Because if Goff gets hurt, your season's over.
If Goff gets hurt, you're going to go out and you're going to make a trade and you're going to do whatever you can to bring in another quarterback. It will not be Hendon Hooker. Trust me on this. Well, what if he goes again with the regular offensive line? He still will have slow play development and he's going to hold on to the ball. He's going to look at that one receiver and then try and take off and run. Well, look how he ran against the Steelers. They played a vanilla defense, and those were the twos and threes out there and a bunch of guys out there from Walmart and Home Depot. Like, they're not going to be on the team. If I was in the D.C., I'm going to just throw blitz packages at him and say, I dare you to beat me. And if he gets off a big play, fine. I'll live with that. The kicking situation
terrifies me.
It terrifies, but I don't think with the kicking situation, Mike, because there are so many kickers out there, until you screw up, then we'll be forced. We won't lose the season because we may lose a game because of him, but you won't lose a season. If Goff goes down, then yeah, chances are you're going to be picking in the top five next year.
See, that could be the difference, though, Rico, between the one seed and the two seed.
It absolutely can.
And that's going to be a downfall for them. Between the two, of course, the kicker is most important. But I'll say this about Hendon Hooker, because there's a lot of Hendon Hooker lovers out there, but he was just one read, staring at that one read, and that's all he did.
Oh, you mean in college?
That's all he did Saturday.
Oh. Yeah, weird how
that's
that
what
works.
He did Saturday.
Right, he's staring at the guy for 4 seconds. Hurry up, get open, get open, get open. Like, Hendon, okay, the play's over.
Like, I don't want to hear from people saying, well, he's not playing with the ones. He's not playing with the best offensive line. That has nothing to do with playing with the best offensive line.
It was his decision-making, David. I absolutely agree with you. I got into an argument all day on Saturday over there. Like, no, if you give him the receivers and everything, he'll do better. Like, no, he won't. Because if he stares down Amon-Ra, Laporte is probably standing there wide open, but he never got to him. And the defense is there in less than 3 seconds. So, but the kicker, yeah, you're right. It could be the difference between home playoff games or having to go and play, you know, wild card weekend in Green Bay. But I know you said they don't prioritize kickers, Mike, but I just think that, yeah, they would probably just go for it anyway and just hope that, can you kick extra points? That's all we really are bringing you on this team for. Kicking some extra points, and maybe, just maybe, if there's 3 seconds left in the game, we'll put you out there for the game-winning field goal. But if there's, you know, 28 seconds left, you know what, let's just try to drive down the field and score a touchdown.
That's not how it works. Okay.
No, I know it's not. I know it's not how it works, Mike. It's just, the Lions have turned field goals into the four-letter word.
That's fine, but sometimes you like to use the four-letter word, like I'd like to use it right now. The point I'm making is you're trying to win an effing Super Bowl.
I understand.
You don't get to dictate terms every week. You're not the 72 Dolphins.
Hey.
Not you. I'm saying
Say it with your chest.
I just get so flustered because I can go along with the analytics, but you know what? How many times have the Niners needed a big kick in this glorious run? Dozens.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose all the time.
Right. Where, you know what? It's in the Super Bowl. He set a record, and then the Kansas City kicker set another record. Like, yes, you take the 3 points. I understand that.
Like, why not sign Riley Patterson, who under 50 is money? He's not going to hit a 60-yarder, but under 50, you can go analytics bananas. And if I set up Patterson for a kick, he's going to make it. Do I know that about Jake Bates?
No, you don't. But I think for Bates, the novelty is if we need to kick that long field goal, they're more apt to kick a 58-yard field goal, Mike, than I think a 48-yard field goal. So therefore, Bates is now advantageous to keep him around.
People, tell me where you're at with it. 248-539-9797. This is the one day this week, and it'll be the one day probably before the season that we even talk Lions from here on out because it's done. But Hendon Hooker, I wasn't impressed. I didn't like anything I saw. I don't really evaluate preseason ball, but Rico's right. Hendon Hooker reading a defense looked like Dexter Manley reading a book. And as far as the kicker goes, look, it's 2 weeks in a row. Bates has missed a kick.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic. And it's a guy that's a fun story, but like, are we sure chips down this is the dude we're going to have kicking you into a Super Bowl? Or to David's point, keeping you, like, you know what it takes to be a one seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's damn near perfection. So I'd like to hear from the people on. I mean, Kenny, do you have a take on this, or were you too drunk by the time to see?
No. Yes, I do have a take. I'm on Team Rico on this one. I'm more concerned about Jake Bates, primarily because if you see a backup quarterback in a Lions game, your season is likely over, and there is going to be an opportunity for Jake Bates to potentially hit a few big, you know, game-winning type kicks. And if you don't have that locked down, I mean, I get it, he's Dan Gamble, and he's going to go for it a lot more than most coaches, but you need a reliable kicker, and I just can't tell you that Jake Bates is that right now. I have no problem with your Patterson idea.
Because here's the thing. What do you prioritize more? Because if you're the Lions, I think it's extra points. But with Bates, I don't know if he's going to hit that extra point, which could come back to bite you.
You know, if we're doing analytics, why don't we just go for two every time? Isn't that the analytics move?
I'm shocked that they don't, to be honest with you.
See, but I keep leaning in the direction here, and I know Brad Holmes can do no wrong in this town, but being the smartest man in the room and the arrogance of Brad Holmes seems to be the downfall in my mind. When over the weekend after the game, the James Houston conversation comes up, oh, he may not make the roster. Okay, well then why didn't you get someone? And the same thing with the kicker. You're just arrogant enough to think, I got the guy. He played for the UFL team here. I got him. Instead of trying out other kickers.
David, you knew when he kicked that, what was it, 63-yard field goal or something? Like, you knew, at that point, he's going to be a Lion. It was destiny. He did it in Ford Field. We're going to bring him into camp, and then everybody got injured, and he had no competition. It worked out for him. It's going to work until he blows a lead, and then that, Mike, that's when you're going to say, and David, that could have been the game. Because trust me, a game in week three can be the difference between you having a one seed and you in Green Bay.
I totally agree. Or Frisco. Yeah. Or wherever. No, I agree with you 100%. It's so strange to me. Look, the pass rush thing, David, look, I've let go of it because they did bring in help up front. Let's be fair. They want versatility. They move Pascal around. You have Marcus Davenport. Am I surprised the James Houston stuff is this bad? Yeah. Does it make you wonder even more, okay, should they have, could they have? I can let it go because I do think they're going to generate pressure by blitzing. It's part of who they are. But the kicking thing is something that just feels so easy. The Hendon Hooker thing doesn't bother me because if I have to see him, I'll already know that that's a loss. The kicker thing, I'm with Rico, and I wonder where you guys are at. We are about to embark on the most important season in Lions history. Full stop. You have a Super Bowl caliber team, and we're trusting a guy who's the equivalent of Wild Thing from the California Penal League in Major League. Jake Bates is nobody from nowhere versus guys that have kicked in this league for money and have at least lined up for big moments.
I wonder if a lot of this is what David said, though. If you change your kicker now, you have to admit, okay, we really didn't know what we were doing all
this season. No, I disagree with that. You get kickers all the time. Teams try guys out, right, move but guys it's
like,
around.
Well, why'd you cut him? He didn't really do much to get cut. It's like,
sure he did. Missed an extra point, missed the chip shot field goal in the lead up to a very important season. Plus, who you are matters. When Moody got off to a bad start, you didn't cut him. Why? Used a high pick on him. Pedigree. Amazing career at Michigan. Huge kicks. You stuck with him. McPherson with the Bengals. Rookie year. Had a rough go. Now he's arguably the second best kicker in the AFC. Pedigree, though. This guy you found next to a copy of Lethal Weapon 3 in a DVD bin. He might be the aces, but I'd like an insurance policy. I know, can't carry two kickers because the seven-string gunner wouldn't make the team.
But that's what the practice squad is for.
I'm with you, David.
No, but here's the thing. On the practice squad, you can't bring them up during the game. So you're not going to keep two kickers on your active roster.
Why
on
not?
Sunday.
Let's be different.
Wow.
I'm kidding. All right. What is our concern with kicker? And maybe I made a mistake with this conversation of even invoking the name of Hendon Hooker. But I thought he looked like crap, and that's okay, because I don't care. If he plays, we're effed. But the problem is, this is back-to-back games Jake Bates is missing kicks. Are we sure? Like, are you sure about that? Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl here, and we're going with a kicker who may or may not be a real person, who may or may not have been found at an Ace Hardware. Are you sure about that?
AI kicker now? What's going on?
I'm saying, Kenny, it's not often you hear USFL kicker, Super Bowl team. It's just not. So it is something that back-to-back kicks missed in the only two games that, quotations, matter. I get nervous about that. And Rico's right. They don't want to use their kicker. But the football gods have a real way of making you do things you don't want to do. And I don't know about trying to go to a Super Bowl with a guy that's never had a meaningful kick at the professional level. Even when you take a rookie like Rico's team did, Jake Moody had a really tough season. McPherson, the kid from Florida who went to Cincy, really tough rookie year.
Well,
those
are
drafted kids.
Yeah, think about it, Mike. Okay, it wasn't his fault, but they lost the Cleveland game because he missed a field goal. It would have been a walk-off victory for them. Instead, he hooked it, and they ended up losing. That was part of their four-game losing streak. Matter of fact, I think that was the one that started the losing streak for them.
Well, the Bengals kicker that Mike brings up, he lost that Steelers game in their opener that year.
Mm.
That's why they lost, because he missed a couple field goals and some extra points. So, yeah, it matters. And someone else says, I don't think Holmes really did everything it took to compete or complete the roster this offseason. He didn't go out all out like Atlanta or Houston to win a Super Bowl.
Houston's in a rookie QB window. And factually speaking, look, Atlanta's roster, it is now or never. They have had no quarterback. They have wasted multiple chances to win that division. I think the Lions are a lot further along than those two teams, if we're being honest. But could they have done more? Should they? Look, we had those conversations. But let's not act like they didn't sign DJ Reader, trade for Carlton Davis. You know, they did lots of stuff, but DPJ not being on the roster. Your wide receiver room, very thin. Kicker from the USFL, scary. There are a couple things, but you can't say anything in this town. Can't say anything. I'm just waiting for Brad Holmes Day where they put the statue next to Barry.
Said people are fooling themselves if you don't think Bates will lose a game for us this year. It's not if, but when. So if Bates had to stay, they absolutely need another kicker. The issue with not having a reliable kicker is it will make Dan Campbell even more reckless. If they brought in a reliable kicker, Dan would not question taking field goals when it's appropriate. Bates being unreliable is a huge problem. Every kicker out there is a hit or miss if they are available right now. Keep him. If the plan fails, falls through, move on to someone else. If he pans out, it's great for everyone. That is Michael in San Antonio. I respect the angle in terms of a kicker, but any kicker is already locked up in terms of dependability. Honestly, by this point, whoever their kicker is, it's going to be unreliable until proven otherwise.
Yeah, but hold on. Riley Patterson, I don't think you could say that. Under 50 yards, under 45 yards, and look, to Rico's point, they don't want to kick at all. But if you get into range at the end of the game and your analytics drive you and you're going, look, I got 6 seconds left and I'm at the 29-yard line, I need to know you're making this kick. Mm-hmm. Well, Riley Patterson's done that. The Bates thing just seems like an easy fix. Are we really ready to turn our fortunes over to him? That's gutsy to me. Maybe it works out. Maybe he's Justin Tucker. I don't know.
I think that it works out, Mike, until he loses that game. And once he loses it, then, yeah, that's where all of a sudden you're going to see them scrambling to pick up Riley Patterson or whatever kicker happens to be out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, the only one I see that's realistic, you had Patterson. I had Randy Bullock. He's like 50. But that's really it. Now, every team's got a list. Every team's got – I'm sure one of the Grammatica brothers is still available.
Jeez, I forgot about
you know
that.
What I'm saying.
Right, like, they grew on trees.
There's kickers.
Right.
And you just try them out.
I think it's his job until he screws this thing up. And then, and only then, will the Lions go out and say, all right, we need a new kicker.
DJ, 97.1. What's up, Deej?
Fellas, what up, though?
Hello, Deej. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I think my man Brad is a saint, man. But on this, I actually do have two issues with Brad. They're not addressing the pass rush room. Has been a gripe of mine, and teams around our division, particularly the Bears, are doing that. But to this kicker thing, to your point, is really sticking it to me because it's an issue. It's going to come back to bite us. And my thing is, do you guys remember the guy who set the record last year at Michigan for consecutive extra points completed? James Turner? We had him in camp. And I was reading on M. Line, and he was kicking behind, but then we signed the Bates kid and got rid of the Turner kid. Why not bring him back, a Michigan guy? So you know how we feel around here about Michigan. Bring him back. That gives you somewhat of an out to go ahead and say, you know what, we're going to pick the Michigan kid at some point over him if he screws this up, in my opinion. That's your out right there. And I was reading the James Turner kid can kick. Bring him in. You don't have nothing to lose.
He got released, right?
Yep, he got released when we signed the base kid. But up
no, no, no,
that,
I'm saying, I thought he got picked.
Kicking butt.
No, I thought he got picked up shortly thereafter.
Yep, he did. He got picked up by the Packers. All I'm saying is he's a rookie, too. But bring in the competition, man. We all know the competition brings the best out of everybody. Just that's your out, though. If he screws it up, at least you got him on the practice squad, like David keeps saying. Because I'm scared of the base kid. I'm not resting my season on him at all.
No, and look, the goals are so much higher that the margin for error becomes less. Whether it's a divisional game and it could cost you a tie break, whether it's the one seed. It's very hard to just act like, look, we're going to garbage can every team we play. We're going to score 40. It doesn't work that way. Kickers are weapons, and they can absolutely dictate your season. I'm with DJ.
Yeah, there may be games where you need three field goals out of him and two extra points.
And we're all rooting for it to work. I'm just making a point. Of the things I can change about this team sitting here right now, this is the only one that makes sense. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, there's a receiver out there you could bring in, yeah, it might be the dead body of Julio Jones. That's not going to...
But see, here's the other reason why if you get the kicker position right... Mike, they play so many games in a dome, controlled environment. There is no wind.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. So there's really no reason why you should be missing this field goal.
Well, it's the allure of Bates is that indoors, plus you get a divisional game indoors in Minnesota. A lot of these stadiums have the ability to stay indoors. Yeah, I can take a 57-yarder and not think about it. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to hit it.
Right.
Otherwise, that's a turnover and the opponent's got the ball right at midfield. I just thought the Bates thing was interesting.
Oh,
the James Houston thing is alarming. That was a guy.
Didn't see that coming.
That was a guy that a lot of people thought was going to be a mainstay.
Oh, that's all I heard. He's going to be, we don't need to get anybody because Houston's going to be on the opposite side of Aiden Hutchinson
until he's not.
Right. We don't need Montez Sweat.
All right. 248-539-9797. All right. One segment. I got to do this. We're just going to have some fun. Everybody turn your computers off. No phones. We're going to have some fun. This is not even, you're calling us out. No. But the Detroit Tigers have taken the first three games of a four-game set against the Chicago White Sox. And you do not have to apologize for winning games. But when I ask you the following question, I need a real answer. How are the Chicago White Sox real? David, can I have some music, please? All right. So just as the Tigers go for a sweep tonight, the Chicago White Sox have played 131 games. Do you know how many games they've won?
I'm going to go with 32.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'm going to say 35.
David?
40.
They are 31-100. A robust 69 games under 500.
So there's a chance.
Okay. 31-100. I've never seen anything like it. AL Central, competitive division. Your Detroit Tigers sit 10 games out. Just for context, how many games out of the division are the Chicago White Sox? Mind you, it's August 26th.
Let me see. 100.
Tigers are 10. They're 69 games under 500 for the White Sox.
Just come on.
I'm 58.
Kenny.
I'll say 25.
I was going to say 22.
44. God. They are 44 games out of first. It's August 26th.
I'm rooting for 58 by the end of the season.
Chicago White Sox have played 66 road games. 66 road games. How many of them have they won?
10.
Kenny.
Well, if they have 31 wins total, I'm going to say 15.
They're road Sox. I'm going to go 18.
They are a whopping 13-53 on the road. 13-53. Okay. Run differential. The Guardians. How is this real? The Guardians are a plus 76. The Royals are a plus 97. Twins are plus 73. Tigers plus 10. Namely because of what they've done to the Sox the last three nights. What is the Sox run differential?
Minus 140.
Okay.
I was thinking more like minus 30 or 40, so I'll say 40.
Okay.
I'll go in the middle, minus 60.
Guys, are you ready?
No.
They are a negative 276 runs.
Stop it.
Minus Stop it. 276.
Stop it.
I win.
No.
So I said to you, they're 31-100. The next worst team in the sport is how many games better than the White Sox? I'll even give you the team. I don't care. Miami Marlins is the next worst team. How many games better are the Marlins?
I'm going to go 20 games better.
Okay. You're saying 20. Kenny?
I'm going to go 15.
Okay. David?
I'll go in the middle, 18.
The Marlins are 16 games better at 47 and 83. It is not that the White Sox are bad and or historically bad. They are historically bad. To be eliminated before Labor Day is... They're the only team with the little E next to their name. Dad.
I think we knew that 4th of July.
You knew that April 5th.
I was about to say.
Now, again.
We're not trying.
Hey, you're in a division. You play who you play. Hey, clean up on this team. Lord knows the Tigers. Aren't the Tigers like 9-0 against this team this year?
Yeah. What, a win today and they're at 500.
Yes. 66 and 66. I think they're 8 games out of the wild card. When you look at those numbers, like, guys, you can kill the music, David. Thank you. When you look at those numbers, we do sports for a living. You deal in numbers. It takes a lot to really surprise you.
Right.
But that's just like.
When you look at this, this is where, man, if I'm Scott Harris, I'm calling up all my young guys. I want you to feel good about yourself. So everybody's going to get a play in the White Sox series, and then I'm going to send you back down so you could say, yes, you were in major leagues and you didn't go out there and have to face some dominant team. Because, yeah, if there was a such thing as a homecoming game in baseball, it would be the White Sox. You just schedule them because you know it's a guaranteed victory.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's the Get Right series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing, their prayer review minus the band. You know that's your homecoming game. Go ahead. Because I think they play the White Sox again. That's when you want to go down to Comerica Park and buy tickets because you know you're going to watch a victory. You're going to see this team go out there and win and probably score a lot of runs.
31 and 100. Okay.
I mean, slick back hair, Kenny.
Daiquiris, it's daiquiri time.
That's the best time to go.
31 and 100. That is outrageous.
I think it just makes it even more embarrassing that we're not going to make the playoffs knowing we were handed 15 free victories.
Wow.
But hey, if you want to support this nonsense and buy daiquiris and support this ownership group, God bless. Put a little extra hair gel in, Kenny. Have fun for all of us. David on the ticket text. So, yes, apparently Tigers are just going to go ahead and win tonight, too.
Yeah.
Someone says, how many games more versus the White Sox? Maybe the Tigers could make a run.
I think they got 3 more against the White Sox.
They do, to end the season with a 3-game series. Yes.
Go down there. They will go 3-0.
I've never seen something like this. And if you think about history.
Oh, wait, is it the final games?
Yes.
See, maybe the Tigers would be like, we don't want you to set the record, so we'll throw the game.
Yeah, remember
the Tigers were bad.
They had to catch fire just to go 43-119.
Right, but I remember that final game. It was the Twins were like, yeah, we don't want you to get the record, so we're just going to go out there and put the batting coach out on the mound.
Rico, this team's going to lose 120 games.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't do that with me.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
No, I know. I'm just saying that is... That's inexplicable.
Right. But they're owning it. They want this badly. They're not trying.
No, they're not. Well, they're trying.
No, they're not.
They're just bad.
No, they're not trying.
I've never seen it. Not like this. David, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, Rico, this segment on White Sox is giving me PTSD from 03 with the Tigers. Almost like you pulled a page out of the history books.
It's unbelievable. I mean, imagine being that White Sox beat writer. Just so we lost again.
So, here, hold on. I got the Tigers right here. 43-119. You know, oddly enough, all right, so now the White Sox are going to smash this. The Tigers that year finished 47 games out of first. White Sox are going to obliterate this.
That's why it will be historically bad. You might as well just own this.
This the run differential, they're going to give a run for their money. The Tigers in that 03 season, do you know what their run differential was?
No.
Negative 337. I think the White Sox may smash that too. Think about it. You got 32 games. If they lose each game by an average of two runs, which would be considered competitive baseball for those idiots, they'll still end up worse than the Tigers.
Ike, let me give you, here's your prop bet. White Sox victories.
Yeah.
Ohtani home runs.
Wow. I'll take Ohtani. I just, what do you want me to say?
No, I'm just saying, when you want to put it, because I was going to say Aaron Judge, but it's, no, you're not going to get anything because he's going to hit about 700.
And the Tigers had to play above 500 baseball just to get to 43.
Yeah. So Ohtani's sitting at 40 home runs. Yeah. Which would you take? Ohtani or White Sox?
I'll take, got to be the White Sox.
Got to be Ohtani. No.
No, I'm taking Ohtani.
They got to win 10 games, right?
No.
No, Ohtani's sitting at 40 right now.
Oh, you're saying total?
Total home runs.
Oh, whoa. So, like, if he got to 50 and the White Sox win 49 games.
Oh, right. Ohtani.
Right.
Ohtani! Well, I was going to say Aaron Judge, but that's not fair.
Aaron Judge is right nut over the White Sox. Like, are you kidding me? Jesus. Here, Colt Keith home runs. What's he at, 12?
How about Akil Baddoo games in the majors versus White Sox victory?
Yeah, total feet, Akil Baddoo's balls traveled. David, go ahead, and then we'll get back to business. I'm sorry. It was something where I look at this and you're like, how is this real?
Yeah, someone's saying, based on their seasons, what is crazier, the White Sox season or the Aaron Judge last 100 games?
White Sox season.
Yeah, I think so.
Look, we've lived through a lot, and I'm not diminishing what Aaron Judge has done, namely because he'll probably choke in the playoffs. But the point is, we've never seen this. This is a White Sox team that I think has a more than credible chance to be way worse than the Tigers of 03. Like, by games, plural. That's insanity. And when you factor in that it is not some, you know, Kenny Cott hillbilly-ass market, it's Chicago. That's even worse.
Yeah, if someone wants to know what's worse, the 23-24 Pistons or the 2024 White Sox?
White Sox. There's nothing. The White Sox.
Okay, maybe a push.
It's a push.
That's a push.
It's push.
That's a push.
The judge from Russia gave it a 9.4. All right, it's Bush. All right, we will collect ourselves, get back to business next. 97.1.